Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, pianist Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today we have in the studio pianist and composer Joseph Nemo. Joseph, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. We enjoyed you and loved your show when you came and did your live stream concert here.
Yes, that was awesome. I enjoyed it as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I know our listeners, you know, will want to know a bit more about you. You've had some great success and more coming. So first off, you know, Joseph, how did you get into music? Where did this all start?
Well, it started, I guess, at age 11, I started playing at my mom's church. It was a relatively small church in the city, but they didn't have a keyboard player at that time. And originally, I had wanted to learn how to play the drums, but we had already like two drummers at the church, so more than likely, they didn't need a third one. So my other brother was like, okay, why don't you learn how to play the keyboard? At that time, he was playing the guitar for the church, and he knew a few chords on there. So He was like, okay, I'll show you C, F, and G. You know, that's what I know, and maybe we can learn this together. And that's how I got started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's cool on that. Now, originally, Joseph, I believe when reading your bio, you're from Ghana originally, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I grew up there.
Wow. And when did you come over?
Mm-hmm. I came here in 2001. Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. So you basically learned the piano in Ghana there. And
yes.
All that happened there. Okay.
Yes.
Cool on that. Now, when you were a little kid, though, did you think, hey, I want to be a pianist when I grow up?
Not at all. In fact, I didn't really even like music. You know, I thought one of my dad's friend was a very good pianist. He was teaching in the colleges and all of that. And my dad tried to get him to teach me piano. And I was like, yeah, I'm not interested in, you know, reading music or that kind of stuff. It was actually later that I sort of develop the interest in that.
Yeah.
Growing up, I didn't want to be a pianist. I actually wanted to be a doctor, but you know, that all changed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. On the pianist thing, you knew C, F, and G. I mean, what more was there to know? I'm joking on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were going to be a doctor, but the piano took heart, it sounds like. And how did you make this transition over? Go ahead.
Well, part of it was growing up to, you know, I guess the kind of environment that I grew up in, you know, musicians weren't like people that I guess society sort of respected, you know, because they were always seeing the bad examples of people ending up in being homeless and, you know, getting involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. So it wasn't something you told your parents that, oh, I want to study music. I want to be a pianist or stuff like that. No. So although later on I picked up piano and everything, I was still focused on, you know, the sciences. When I went to high school, I did the biology, chemistry, physics, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until college that I realized that, man, I'm not really cut out to be a doctor, because one of the things was, you know, the mere sight or talking about blood makes me queasy. So definitely.
Well, that could be a hindrance there, huh?
Yes. So I decided, okay, well, this is not going to happen. And then I think about that time, you know, so I was into the biological sciences first 2 years of college. And then I think going to the third year, that's when I came here. And then I decided, okay, well, now my parents are not here. I can do whatever. At that time, the music had sort of gained more ground. So I thought, yeah, well, it would be good to study music and really do this and do it well. Mm-hmm. So that's how the transition.
That's a huge jump, though, coming from Ghana to the U.S., and then there you are on your own, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, I have family here, like cousins and uncles and stuff like that, but it's still talk about, culture shock and stuff like that.
I could only imagine. And where did you end up when you first came to the States? Where did you live?
I lived in Massachusetts, Boston. Mm-hmm. With my cousin, one of my cousins, and mm-hmm. It was quite an experience. I was coming from, I guess, the British system. Ghana was a former colony of the British, and then I came here, and it's completely different mm-hmm. system. So some of the things were a little okay, like how you say. Like trash can here, we didn't say that. We would say dustbin.
Dustbin or the boot of the car.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We didn't say trash. We said rubbish.
Rubbish, of course. Yeah. So there was some adjustment there, but that was a huge step for you to make this move, though, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
And you were still playing music at that time? That's when you started to relax more into music. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, at that time, I was even recording for other artists and stuff like that. Not any big name artists. Mm-hmm. But just,
sure. Understandable. And you were doing church work also. Is that correct?
Yes. I did a lot of my years here in America. I've worked with a lot of churches, basically building their music departments and stuff like mm-hmm. that, training mm-hmm. musicians.
Nice. Now, did you have formal lessons or was it self-taught, or how did your piano chops come about?
Well, when I first started, obviously, my brother showed me a few things on there. So after playing that for, I think, about a year, I told my parents, and I guess they also kind of, I forget that I'm interested in the piano. So they started me on taking piano lessons with a guy in the neighborhood who was giving lessons at that time. So that's when I learned to read music and stuff like that. And then, but the thing I found out though was, I don't know if it's because I started at first playing by ear before, learning how to read. I still enjoy, I guess, playing by ear because, obviously in a church like that, and the church that I grew up in, it wasn't like here these days where most of the music is structured and you know what key you're playing in, and, it wasn't like that at all. So you just showed up, and then they had a team though, but at that time, I don't think they were rehearsing before mm-hmm. the service or anything. So you showed up, and then, they pick up a song and then they start singing, and you had to figure out first of all what key they were playing in.
Oh, wow.
And funny thing is, the first day I was put behind the piano, I only knew C, F, and G. And I think the first song they started singing was like an A flat. And I was like, goodness, how do I...
A flat, that's foreign territory there. Wow.
Yes. So by the time I figured it out, I guess the song was done. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, if I'm going to succeed at this, I guess it's clear that I have to learn how to play all 12 keys, mm-hmm. and learn how to develop my ears to be able to pick out, okay, yeah, well, this is, you're doing it in C or... in another key.
So how did you do that? How did you accomplish that?
Well, I started listening to music a lot. Mm-hmm. And also, I sort of developed this system where if I'm listening to a song at home and I go out, mm-hmm. and let's say I went to a store and they were playing music, I would try to sort of reference what I was listening to previously. Like if I knew, okay, the song I was listening at home is like maybe in C, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm at the store, they're playing music. I try to sort of deduce the, okay, this is probably a perfect fit above what I was listening at home. So, okay, so this song is in G, you know, that sort of thing. So I kept doing that. But a lot of it was just listening to music and trying to pick out what they are playing. And also, you know, and in that environment, the church environment, you know, I'm sure I got a lot of practice because, you know, they would sing and I have to figure it out. Okay, what key?
And they were practicing forgiveness of your playing, adjusting.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, let's not sell this short, though. Now, I read you went to Berkeley, did you?
Yes, yes, I did.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It's probably one of the best, well, the highlights of my, you know, musical journey, you know.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot to be said for that. Now, listening, and you're listening a lot, can you tell us the influences, or who are you, the pianists that have influenced you the most?
Well, a lot of musicians have influenced me. For one, you know, people like Oscar Peterson.
Oh, yes.
yes, and Oscar was a big influence. I mean, the guy.
A monster.
Yes, and it's interesting. When I first listened to his music, I thought two people were playing the piano. And, you know, I found that, well, it's just one person playing it. And I was, it kind of shook me a little bit. I guess the whole week I didn't really do any playing. I was like, how can, you know, one man play this thing like that, you know? And Oscar is a master of the piano, you know, his chords and the way he plays is just amazing, you know?
Yeah, no, he's like the gold standard, you know?
Oh, yes.
I remember listening to him a lot on the LA freeways driving to gigs. And I would think, oh, gosh, I should change professions. I really should.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oscar would make you feel that way. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So Oscar was one of yours. And yes. Any others that influenced you?
Oh, yeah. There was also another guy that I guess earlier on in my musical journey that I'm not sure if a lot of people know him, because he wasn't like he was in the Christian, I guess, music, which a lot of people, Christian musicians, would know. His name is Tom Brooks. He was like the producer for Integrity Music. This was around, I guess, maybe early 80s, 90s, you know.
Nice.
And I used to listen to him a lot. In fact, I would say that most of my, the touch that I sort of developed came from him, you know, because I would practice. In fact, I would practice everything he played, you know, not just when the music was going, but let's say when the singer wasn't singing, that probably just talking and he was doing something at the background. I listened to all of that. It's and I picked up on all of that.
I can definitely tell you have that just a touch of gospel in your playing.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It's not too heavy. It's not too light. It's just, it's luscious. That's the way I describe it. So
thank you.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You're welcome on that. So those are some cool influences you have. Now you have, correct me if I'm wrong, Joseph, you have 5 CDs out. Is that correct?
Yes. The first one is a Quiet Time in His Presence. And that was basically, I guess, my debut album. And it was basically how that album actually came about was, you know, I've always been at the background when it comes to music production, like I'm either arranging or producing other people's music. There wasn't a time that I was the artist. So this thing is still kind of new to me. But then I would get requests from friends and people who had heard me play. They're like, you know, we love your music. You know, it's so soothing. You know, do you have an album out? You know, and I'm like, no. And they were like, well, you have to record something. We would like to listen to it, you know. And a lot of the folks that I also go to church with, they were like, yeah, your music would be good for, you know, maybe a quiet time when they're reading or meditating or something like that. So I decided, okay, well, maybe it's time to record something and put it out there just so people can enjoy it and use it for whatever purpose.
And that was five CDs ago. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. No kidding. Now, with five CDs, that's some serious work there. Tell me about your writing process. I'm always curious. Does the writing flow? Does it come easily or is it a struggle? Where are you in this?
Well, there are times that it's not easy. Like you get the writer's block. It's nothing except. In fact, there was a season that I think before my third album, there was this period where I didn't write anything. I didn't play much at all. Mm. It was just a dark period. And I think I was also dealing with some health issues. So I didn't really have any, you know, joy or, you know, the desire to sit behind it. But there have been seasons where it's like, it's just flowing. Like there are times that I literally, I get a melody in my head and I'm like, okay, I need to go down and, you know, start playing it and record the idea. Otherwise I probably lose it. And it just flows and flows like that. But there are times too, where I have to, maybe I'll just get a little idea and I have to really labor through it to get it to a full song. So
understandable. That's good to hear, because you know, with these podcasts, I'm hearing from all the, you know, different artists, how the different, everyone's a little bit different on the spectrum of how it comes easily or hard, or if it's effortful, or do you sit down and take time every day, or is it just when you can, you know, things like that.
For me, I wouldn't say I have a set time for doing, because obviously I have another job too, so it's, time is very limited. But there are times that I, you know, try to, like say maybe on Saturdays if I've got some free time, I would sit down and practice a little bit. And then sometimes through the practice, an idea comes up and I'm like, that's interesting. Maybe I could develop this and, you know. Sometimes it ends up being a song. Sometimes too, it doesn't go anywhere. But I still save it anyway, just in case.
Nice. Now, with these five CDs, let's make sure that it's mentioned that your CD Conversations on Piano won the OWRM Best Solo Piano Album of the Year for 2018.
Yes, it did. And I was shocked and humbled at the same time. Like,
that's so awesome. Cool. kidding. Now, that's One World Music Awards, in case you're following along at home. So that's really cool on that. They're a great bunch of people there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me, out of all the five CDs, it's really tough to pick, Joseph, but if you can narrow it down, of all these songs or your children on these CDs, which one do you think is your favorite?
That's hard, but I would say Solitude would be my favorite because it's very simple, and I'm even surprised that I could pull something like that off because I don't normally think along those lines, like melodically, you know. I'm more of a, you know, of course, with influences like Oscar and all that, I tend to think harmonically. So the melody may be there, but I'm doing all kinds of things around it. And I always joke around and say my music is not necessarily simple because I'm doing all kinds of things in there. But that one was just, it's just, to me, it's beautiful. It's just simple and, you know, almost you don't have to have a music degree to relate to it. It's very soothing and very, laid back.
See, you're right in my aisle right there with the simple stuff. Where you're harmonic, I'm more melodic. I belong on the Hallmark Channel. That's where I would be, you know. But we're all different flavors of ice cream. We really are, you know.
That's true.
The song Solitude is on Conversations on Piano, which was on the One World Music Awards that won last year.
Yes.
We have it in the studio. Our editor is pianist Eric Baikalis, who helps here at the River of Calm take care of these things. So let's take a listen to Solitude right now by Joseph Nimmo. Okay, that was Solitude by Joseph Nimmo on Conversations on Piano, his CD that just won the One World Music Award for 2018. Joseph, great job on that.
Thank you.
Now, where can we find your music, Joseph Nimmo?
You can find it on my website, josephnimmo.com. And the Nimmo, it's not, as in finding Nimmo, but it's N-I-M-O-H .com. You can also find it in CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. Yeah, I'm also on Spotify, and I would appreciate if you follow me there as well. I'm also on Pandora as well.
Nice.
And
you're also on the River of Calm, too, by the way.
Yes, yes, yes. That's very important. Yeah.
Oh, well, you're sweet. And we were so glad to have you on our live stream concert this year. You did such a wonderful job, man.
So, thank you. I had a blast.
Oh, we loved you there. I mean, you had fans and got new fans out of that.
Oh, yes.
Let's take it back to Joseph Smalin in Ghana. And Joseph today is all grown up and winning, you know, solo best solo piano album awards. Out of all of this, if you can get your arms around it musically, what would you say you're most proud of?
I would say probably winning that award, because it came at a time that I wasn't really expecting it at all. Best of all, when I got the email about the nomination, I was like, wow, this is, am I dreaming or what? Because obviously you've got equally in some way better than I myself, you know, artists on there that the music I admire so much.
So remember, Joseph, we're all different flavors of ice cream, okay?
That's true.
Yeah. So your flavor came up this time, though, right?
I guess, yes.
Nice. That is really cool. So with all this, I mean, you went to Berklee, you know, you win the awards, you've had an amazing solo career, but do you ever have doubts about it? Do you ever have self-doubts or an inner critic that beats up on you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know any musician that doesn't experience that. I still do that, but I guess it's not a question of whether you have it or not, but what do you do with it? And how do you deal with it? You know, you can't, obviously there are musicians out there that are better than myself. And so sometimes you listen to my music and I'm like, yeah, maybe it's not quite there yet. Or, you know, I wish I was as great as so-and-so. But at the same time, like you said, we're different flavors of, you know, the ice cream. And so I have come to accept that this is where my strength is. And so I'm going to shine on that. I'm not going to try to be who I am not. And
well said. That's really well said. And I also want to say, Joseph, and for pianists and the solo artists that are, you know, on the River of Calm, you're not, I mean, this is basically naked playing. You know, there's nothing to hide behind. There's no drum track, band to hide behind. There's no auto tune. There's nothing but you and your soul, you know, connecting. So there is definite room to be scared and terrified, but, but I'm glad you come out and live courageously, you know?
Yeah.
So now, Joseph, what's one thing that most people would not ever suspect about you or would not know about you?
I'm a very funny guy. I can create jokes, you know. I crack jokes a lot. I guess when people see me the first time, maybe they think I'm too serious, but I'm not at all. I'm a very funny guy. I just, my family, you know, my kids, they tell their friends that their daddy is funny. He's just always cracking jokes and stuff like that.
Nice. So you have a second career as a comedian. Is that what you're saying?
I guess, yes.
All right. So now, knowing what you know at this age, what advice would you give to a music student who wants to become a musician?
I would say that other than obvious things like, you know, honing your skills in music, making sure you master your instrument, I would say build relationships. Relationships are very important. At the end of the day, that saying holds true that it's not what you know, it's whom you know. You know, you could be the best musician out there, but if nobody knows you or nobody's heard of you, then your career, it's not really going to take off, or you won't be able to have that influence that you're looking for. So relationships are very, very important. If you're going to get your first gig or your next gig, it's going to come from, you know, a person who's probably heard you or you've had some kind of interactions with. When I was at Berklee, one of the things that we used to say was that if one Berklee guy gets a gig at some place, the next thing you know, the whole band would be full of Berklee guys. You know, they're going to invite their friends and, you know, so relationships are very, very important. You can't just, you know, ignore those or have that kind of mindset that, yeah, I get whatever I want, so that's it, you know, I move on. No,
I think you're right on track there. You know, I speak at music business colleges, and I say that, you know, you just can't focus on just being the artist. You have to be a Swiss Army knife, you know?
Yes.
With many different skills at this level right now or today, because the world's changed, and you can't just be the creative soul. You also have to be a manager, an accountant, a publicist, and everything else involved, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
And PR and making sure you have, you know, referrals. You know, I totally agree with you on that. So,
oh yeah,
you're right on that. Now, if you had a magical wand and had one musical wish that could be granted, what would it be? Aside from playing exactly like Oscar Peterson.
Well, you just give it up. I guess, well, you gave it away because that's what I was going to say.
Oh, serious? Oops, sorry. Well, that's a great wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so I'd be listening to you in the car now. I'd say, yeah, that's Joseph Nemo. He's a monster.
Jeez. Well.
Well, that's a good musical wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I guess it will never be fulfilled because Oscar passed away. So,
understandable. Yeah. But hey, but someday maybe somebody's going to say, if I could only play like Joseph Nemo, and that could be possible. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess I'm saying that, but at the same time, too, I would say, well, be yourself. You know, you don't want to be. There can only be one Oscar Peterson, and if you try to be like him, then you end up being a cheap copy of him instead of being original. And
right,
you know, everybody's got their own, I guess.
Stay in your own lane and connect with the spirit that's in you, and just deliver what God gave you. You know,
so that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, last question: if you had one billboard that would be across the country that could only have one message on it, what would your message be?
That's a good question. I would say it would say, you know, love one another. You know, it's so sad that at this point in our country's history, you know, there's a lot of division, and, you know, I'm on the red team, I'm on the blue team, but at the end of the day, we are all one people, and we need to show some love to each other and also exercise civility even when we disagree with one another. When we are divided, then we're not strong, but when we are united in love, when we are loving one another, love conquers all. So that probably would be my message.
You are a gentleman and a scholar. I'm not kidding on that. You can tell you have not an old soul spirit, but you're very have a strong spirit, and it really, really comes across in your music and playing.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And all the way from your beginnings in Ghana to Berkeley to where you are now winning awards, love one another. Well, there you have it, a behind-the-scenes look at pianist and composer Joseph Nemo on the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.